Haramai, good morning. This is Judith Leigh welcoming you to Manx Radio and to the podcast of this week's edition of At Your Service. Manx Radio. We're all facing the same storm, but we're not all in the same boat. For some, the storm is stronger and the waves are already breaking over them. Every day, people already living in poverty battle the worst of a crisis that they didn't create. It's deeply unjust. But a better way is possible, and someone who speaks passionately about that better way is coming to the island later this month. We'll hear more about this later in the programme. My special guest today will, I feel sure, be both an inspiration and a comfort to you. That's certainly how I felt after I'd chatted with Manx-born Ruth Rice. Her searing honesty and her vibrant faith shine out as she explains how her life completely changed when she discovered that it is truly okay to not be okay. And our opening music fits well with my conversation with Ruth. It's a new release from Martin Smith and the Kingdom Choir, and it's called Trouble. When there's nothing left, no hope within, and you can't get back to where you've been, just a little love is a guiding light when you lose your way.
I'm gonna see my way out of trouble. When there's nothing left, no hope within, and you can't get back to where you've been, just a little love is a guiding light when you lose your way. Yeah, I'm gonna sing my trouble. I'm gonna sing till I am free. My God will find me here in the rubble. Oh, Rock of Ages, you will save me once again. When our dreams are gone and they fly away.
That's Martin Smith and the Kingdom Choir and Trouble. Renew well-being is something we've mentioned briefly a few times on this programme. There are two Renew spaces on the island now, one in Peel Methodist Church and one in Douglas at the Well, which is part of Broadway Baptist Church. Quiet, shared spaces where it's okay not to be okay. But what exactly does that mean, and how did it come into being? Well, to my amazement, I found out recently that it was all started by Manx-born and bred Ruth Rice. Prior to her marriage, she was Ruth Quain, and I can do no better than let Ruth tell you her own inspirational story, starting off, of course, with a quick summary of her Manx roots.
I was born and brought up here, yes, and born at the Cool, in fact, and then up into Ramsey, went to Ramsey Grammar School, and yeah, my lovely mum and dad, who are still around, which is great. And I went to Chester to train as a teacher, and then stayed, really. In fact, my dad went to Chester to train as a teacher. How adventurous am I? I did exactly the same as him. I'll go away from the Isle of Man, but not too far. I ended up going to Nottingham for a teaching job, met my husband, stayed there, had three children, and by God's sort of plan, ended up leading a Baptist church with my husband sort of lay leading at the same time as teaching full time.
Did you ever see yourself in church leadership? Or?
Oh no, no. Born and bred as a girl within a loving, wonderful Christian upbringing, but one where I didn't see many female role models of leadership. I'd thought I might be a missionary. I'd gone away actually to train in languages to go to be a missionary in a Francophonic setting. That was my little plan, and spent some time in North Africa. And you know, that was what I was going to do. Transworld Radio. I love radio. As a teenager, I spent time there. But to find myself in a sort of charismatic Baptist setting in Nottingham, where I ended up leading by default, it's all been a little surprising. But I had such wonderful role models here. You know, people who'd explained the gospel, lived the gospel for me, with me here in the Isle of Man. That you don't plan the steps you take; you just find yourself in these situations. And so, three kids, teaching full time, lay leading in a church. The rest of the story, the bit we're going to talk about, other people could see that coming because I have a very high work ethic and didn't remember I was a human being.
There is no easy way to ask you this question. Where did it all come unraveled, Ruth?
Well, I think it was unraveling slowly from the very beginning, if I'm honest. Because I think if you don't see yourself as somebody who is loved already by God, like, I don't know where I got it from. Certainly not my parents. Very loving, very kind, unconditional love. But there's somewhere I picked up that God was generally a little bit cross and disappointed, and you just had to work a little bit harder. So we use expressions, don't we, like God wants to use you, like you're some sort of spatula. And I kind of, you know, all the time trying to please everybody all the time, including trying to please God, which is your highest accolade, to please God. And then there's all the other people to please as well. And so I by default have become a bit of a people pleaser without knowing that's what I was doing. But you end up pleasing no one. And things like, you know, hobbies or creative activities just felt like a waste of time. So if you weren't serving someone else, then what were you for? So somewhere along the line, I had just been trying to prove my worth, maybe, or just a misunderstanding of how much I was loved, even if I did nothing. Until I was doing nothing and realised I was still loved by God. I think I thought the whole of life was about kind of earning that somehow. Weirdly, I carried on in this kind of performance mentality that maybe the church itself, the whole church, perpetuates a little bit. You can be really busy, can't you, in your daily life, and if you're part of church, also really busy serving within the church. So about 12 years ago, it all unravelled big time.
And what did you do?
It was weird because I'd got this voice loss and I was teaching full time at the time. I loved teaching. I had this little motto that every child had a right to a standing ovation. You know, it was all high octane, cup full to overflowing. And so I kept losing my voice, but I didn't take any time off work. I didn't listen to my body. It was almost like a badge of honour never to have taken a day off. And it was that kind of preempted, I think, you know, those physical health issues first. But behind that was this overwork. It was burnout for me. And I can remember the day that I finally gave into it. I was standing in the kitchen. I couldn't think what to have for dinner. It was that simple. The kids were quite young. And I slid down the work surface, sat on the floor, and there's these big tears dropping down my face. And I thought, this is not normal. And I went and got into bed and I started watching reruns of Dallas. And I'm not kidding you, maybe 3 months later, I finally managed to emerge. I'd got signed off work. It was like when I finally gave in to my body, my mind, I can't do this. And I was so shocked because I wasn't that person. I was like ashamed because I was like, I'm a Christian, you know, the joy of the Lord is my strength. What am I doing? So not only did I not feel great, I didn't go to the doctor because I thought it's made me more unhealthy having faith. How's that possible? Having said I've been really involved in church, I found it excruciating to go. I tried going to church because I love those people. I was part of the same church for 30 years. I led the church eventually. But everybody wanted you to be better. So there was a lot of patting and a lot of praying. And it was, oh, I can't, I'm going to let you down. I'm not going to be able to be well. I can't answer your questions. And people would be going, how are you feeling? Like, I don't know. So the mask wearing, I found it easier just not to be around people. And it was very isolating. And I didn't find any language to express the fact that I didn't, you know, I still believed in God. I just couldn't hear him. I couldn't see him. I didn't know where he was. There was a big gap where he used to be. And I didn't know what I was for anymore. That's really hard to describe to people when, you know, you've got a lovely family, a lovely upbringing. There's nothing awful happened. You've just, the lights have gone out. And so, yeah, it was a long haul, but I eventually found rhythms and habits of life and prayer that were quieter, more contemplative. God was very gracious. I can't say it was all wonderful and spiritual during that time. It wasn't. But there was this one moment I remember God getting his arms around me and saying, in the middle of me doing nothing, I couldn't love you anymore, Ruth. I'll never love you any less. And I feel I was reborn in that moment. I think I finally understood I could never get out of bed again and God would still absolutely love me. So everything else from then on was a bonus. It took the pressure off. It made me understand the gospel of well-being, I think.
Those are such important words. It took the pressure off, because so many of us live under pressure that we don't even realise we're living under, because it's become so much a norm. So what then?
God was very kind. Folk around me were very gracious. I ended up actually leaving teaching because I just couldn't manage it and it wasn't fair on the kids. And then weirdly, I ended up leading the church full time. They paid me to lead them full time. They'd seen that I'd spotted something during that time, that there were, at that time, 1 in 4 people with diagnosed mental ill health at some point in their lifetime. I think it'll be more now, post-COVID. And my heart was going out to people that I knew were still feeling like I had felt, but would never come through the doors of our our churches. So how would we bring sort of a life of well-being, a community of well-being to people who were feeling lonely or isolated? And that began the adventure that ended up with a Renew space. These rhythms of prayer, you know, psalm in the morning, Lord's Prayer at lunchtime, examine at the end of the day, rewind the day, holding a cup and knowing I am held. This was the stuff of life. And then also the hobbies. Just wouldn't it be nice to have a place where you didn't sit on your own at home, but you could come together, bring your hobby, any faith and none, no proselytising, bring a hobby, share a hobby. And then thirdly, being able to get access to mental health care, but without having to go to a clinical space. I thought, wouldn't that be great? So that was where Renew was born, really.
So out of this dreadfully painful time for you has come this Renew spaces. And the strapline is where it's okay to be not okay. It's become a nationwide sensation, hasn't it? And it's moved to the island. We've got two groups, a group in Douglas that's attached to the Broadway Baptist Church, to the Well there, and a group that's starting attached to the Methodist Church in Peel. And I am absolutely sure we're going to see more groups around the island. A safe space.
It's so weird. It's one of those things where you drop some seed on the floor and like in Mark chapter 4, it talks about and the seed grows and you know not how. It's been like that. It's a funny little idea out of my own brokenness to have a space where anyone could bring a hobby, share a hobby, be present, where you could be prayerful and make prayer available to anyone alongside each other, where you could be in partnership with mental health services. It was selfish. I needed to do this in Nottingham where we are. So we opened that 4 days a week 6 years ago. I left the church to set up the charity 4 years ago. It's still going strong. We had three hosts when we started. There's 25 hosts now. So it out survives its founder. And other churches saying, can we join in? How do we do this? And I thought you had to have a pretty, you know, place on the high street that was really chintzy and gorgeous. And actually, that's not the case. You can do it in an allotment. You can have it in a church building. You can do it in a library. It's the being present, being prayerful, being in partnership. It's the consistency, the simplicity of showing up. Any church could do this. One of the first centres to set up after we'd done ours was in Northampton in a big Anglican church, big, dusty old Anglican church. It's a lovely church, but I thought this won't work. People won't come over the threshold. You know, it's one of our most successful ones in that it's replicated itself six times into other Anglican churches around the place. I think it's more about how you set up the space. And I wonder whether, as well as being in neutral spaces, God's kind of redeeming our buildings to be used by our communities. You know, we've got loads, haven't we, in the island of little church chapels and stuff where I think, oh, this would be amazing. If you can't keep the show on the road of being able to do the thing every Sunday, week in, week out, I wonder, could you put the kettle on, get your knitting out and pray? Pretty much that's a Renew. Being there, people knowing that you will be there. It's so essential for those who are stuck at home. Maybe for people who've had a long-term diagnosis of some sort of mental illness as well. It's a bit scary to think, I'm going to meet people and don't know where they are. And the safety, the boundaries of the safety of the space that says, we're going to be here for a couple of hours a week or a couple of hours a day even. Come and find me here. This is safe. We will be here together. There'll be nothing manipulative. There'll be nothing coercive. That we're not, as churches, trying to get bums on seats. Okay, we want people to meet with Jesus, but really, we want to just be there for people. So having the two separate spaces, the one that says any faith and none, no proselytising, like a cafe, doesn't have to be a cafe, just somewhere where people bring a hobby, share a hobby. And there's something about the sharing of the hobbies and interests too. It's not come and sit around in a circle and talk about how ill you are. It isn't. It's a strength-based approach that says everybody is a masterpiece of God's creation and carries something that they can give as well as receive. Which is one of the five ways to well-being that we've been using the language that's already out there in mental health services. So the five ways to well-being in mental health services: connect, learn, get active, take notice, give. These are five things that help with your well-being. I would say they're five things the church does well anyway, sometimes.
So, Ruth, somebody listening to this and saying, I want to start a Renew space, how would they go about it?
Firstly, they'd probably ring up and have a chat or get in touch with us via our website, renewwellbeing.org.uk, or maybe even pop in and see one of the ones that's already at Slantershee and Peel or at the Well. And then coming along to an online webinar. So every Monday, once a week, we have a webinar for an hour that introduces you to the concept of Renew Wellbeing. And then once you've done the introduction, we give you the password for the website resources page, which has got all the training on it. And we encourage churches to go away and do the training themselves in their own time, and then to come back to us and say, yeah, we'll do that. We're quite interested. And it's still that you can buy in or buy out at any time. And by buy in, I don't mean with money. I just mean with your time. And so we invite churches then to sign up with us. And we do have an agreement. We ask churches to sign to say they'll keep it simple and safe. And we look at their safeguarding to check that's right. And then every church is slightly different in the way they'll do it. But we invite you to be part of an ongoing conversation about how to keep doing this better. And so we have lots of ways to connect. We call ourselves a family, really. But any denomination, any church could join in with this.
So finding your way through this dreadful time, realising that moment when God said, I'll never love you less, I couldn't love you more. What's it done for your faith life now?
I am completely obsessed with well-being and the practice of the presence of God. I know that I'm breakable and I know that I could break again. I'm fascinated by what the gospel actually is and increasingly think, wow, this is really good news. And this idea that he loves us because he loves us because he loves us, he wants to spend time with us. And it's a glorious thing to get your head around the fact you are already loved before you start your day. For me, for my own spirituality, picking up my cup in the morning, doing my little meditation on the Psalms, the rhythms of prayer throughout the day, that's the stuff of life for me. And I'm so passionate about it. I can't stop myself talking about it wherever I am, rather than having to think, oh, shall I tell this person about Jesus? Oh, I really can't stop.
When our dreams are gone and they fly away, they'll return again with the light of day. And I know that birds always find a song, and so can we.
Thank you to my special guest, Ruth Rice, founder of Renew Wellbeing. And in the coming weeks, I'll have more information about our two Renew spaces already open here in Douglas and in Peel. Louise Whiteleg is our local Christian Aid rep, and she popped into the studio the other day with the good news that one of her colleagues will be visiting the island soon. Shinny MacDonald is a broadcaster, a journalist and a passionate campaigner for a just solution to the climate crisis that's crippling the world's poorest people. Her latest book, God is Not a White Man, is a beautifully written memoir about being black and female in a church and a country that values most people who are white and male. It's been described as essential reading if you're in any way committed to reflecting on how we take seriously the blight that racism casts on us all and to striving together to build a better future. Here's Louise to tell us how we can meet Shinny MacDonald.
We have a visitor coming over to the island, a lady called Shinny MacDonald. And I can say I'm a massive fan, an established author. She's a regular on Radio 4, really massively inspirational speaker. I'm so excited she's coming over.
Now, she also has a role within Christian Aid, doesn't she, Louise?
Yes, Chinny, she's currently works with us for Christian Aid, looking after community fundraising and public engagement and trying to get that message across about what Christian Aid's trying to do, especially at the moment with regards to climate change.
So what's she going to do while she's here?
For Chinny to come over to us and to just breathe some fresh ideas and inspiration into us is a great opportunity.
I have to say, to my shame, that when we hear environmental issues mentioned, and as you say, we've got the COP26, hugely important conference that's coming up, it just feels too big for me to be able to make any kind of valid contribution to it. We desperately need somebody to bring us a new perspective, don't we?
That's exactly what Shinny's going to do when she comes over. She's got some amazing stories and points of view. One of the ways that Christian Aid is thinking about the run-up to COP26 is that there's this massive storm coming, this climate crisis, and we're all facing the storm together. But the problem is we're not all in the same boat. We don't have the same protection. And for some of us, the storm is stronger and the waves are already breaking over them. And it's those people in the worst of circumstances that they didn't create which are feeling the worst consequences of this storm. So it's deeply unjust, and it's that sense of an injustice that I think we all need to harness and understand that we can all do our little bit and we can all make a change together. It's an occasion where the world truly has to come together, irrespective of race, gender, ethnicity. We're all on one planet. We're all facing the same storm together. We all need to be equally equipped. It goes back, I think, to having our priorities a bit upside down and back to front. We know from the Bible that we are only truly rich in spirit and not earthly possessions. Yet why do we worry about driving a nice car and having an expensive handbag? These things should be weighed up for what they really are. Recently, as you know, I've been poorly. It was quite a serious illness, and it gives you an opportunity to put yourself on the scales to see whether or not you weigh up and you've done everything that you want to do. And it's understanding what actually is truly important in life, and it's loving not just our near neighbour but our far neighbour, and it's loving the beautiful planet that we have. The words all sound quite trite, but in understanding that the earth and its gifts are finite and those gifts are given from God, I really do believe that there is within the heart of all humans to make this place heaven on earth, which we can only do by treating it as a precious item.
So how can we meet Shinny MacDonald, and what have you got organised for us, Louise?
I have a fantastic opportunity. A very kind donor has provided the funds to enable us to hire the Manx Museum. So it's free because we'd like to get as many people there as possible. On the 26th of October, starting at 7 p.m. at the Manx Museum, and it's going to be a talk on tackling climate change, and we're going to look at inequality and injustice. It will be a fascinating evening. It's going to be split into two halves. The first half, we're going to look at challenging aspects of climate, look at COP26, look at what's actually happening here and now and what we can do about it. And then the second half, going to be having a conversation with. So there's going to be an opportunity to ask questions. Chinny's also written a rather interesting book called God is Not a White Man. With titles like that, there's going to be some really interesting questions to be asked.
So it's the 26th of October, it's at the Manx Museum, and it starts at 7 o'clock. Although it's a completely free event, it is necessary to get a ticket. So how do we do that?
Simply give myself a call, 474-275, or if you pop on our Facebook page, which is Christian Aid Isle of Man, there's a link to where you can book the tickets.
Thank you, Louise Whiteleg, talking about the visit of Shinny MacDonald. And now it's notice board time. And once again, we have Harvest Thanksgiving services where everyone will be made very welcome. But before we have the details, I thought we'd celebrate the season with one of our best-loved Harvest hymns. Come Ye Thankful People, Come, and I feel sure that will be among the hymn choices for these harvest celebrations around the island later today. The Mariners' Choir will lead a harvest Thanksgiving in Baldrian Methodist Hall, just across the road from the chapel. It's tonight at 6:30, and Mrs. Sue Yardy will preach. Bride Parish Church have their Harvest Evensong tonight at 6:30 with guest singers Sue and Jeff Collier. Also tonight at 6:30, Rita Norrie will celebrate Harvest Thanksgiving at the Howe Chapel, and the Sunday School children will be involved in that service. Then tomorrow, Monday the 18th, there'll be the Howe Harvest Supper and Concert by the Londo Male Voice Choir. The sale of fruit and produce will start at 7:30, followed by the concert at 8 p.m, with supper after that. Admission is just £5. This Tuesday morning, there'll be a harvest coffee morning in Ballyfessan Chapel from 10 till 11:30. Inspiring Voices is the theme for a special evening on Tuesday the 19th in Dalby Schoolrooms. Starting at 7:30, it's an opportunity to hear more about the work of GRI, the Manx charity working with those who are homeless on the island, and also the work of Bees for Burundi, another Manx charity working to empower small village communities through teaching the skills of beekeeping in one of the world's poorest communities. There'll be two illustrated talks with inspiring speakers Michael Manning and Harry Owens, and tea and cakes will be served during the interval. Everyone is welcome, and whilst there's no charge, any donations on the night will be divided between the two charities. Looking ahead to next weekend, and Abilands Chapel have their harvest services on Sunday the 24th. At 3 o'clock next Sunday afternoon with Mrs. Pauline Corlett, and next Sunday evening at 6:30, where I have the privilege of leading the service. The harvest celebrations at Abilands conclude on Monday the 25th at 7 p.m, when there'll be a short service followed by the sale of produce, then supper and a little entertainment. And that's all we've time for now, but there will be more news from the notice board during sundown tonight from 9 o'clock, when I'll be back with a mix of easy listening music to round off your weekend. And a special guest on the show tonight, the highly entertaining and very talented multi-instrumentalist Simeon Wood. We would both be very glad of your company. Email me, please, with news for the notice board and requests for your favourite hymns. My email is judithleigh@manxradio.com. I do hope you can come back and join me again later, but for now, this is Judith saying thank you for listening, and I wish you and those you love a blessed and peaceful week and a very good morning. The Nation Station.